Okay. Since I don't want to keep Rabbi Friedman waiting, if everybody could just pause for a minute, we'll maybe pause for Bethlehem and Sarah. I just wanted to say, thank you everybody for coming.
Very quick. I really had wanted us to share my, really, we were totally into the phone line, but I didn't have the Bethlehem Kabbalos, Kilos, on behalf of my son. Those just words can't even describe how we felt. And definitely I'm coming to this with a feeling of like just so much appreciation to the community for all the wonderful things you've done, but specifically for the tefillah. And that was coming last week when I was gonna come, I was thinking about sharing that and just that appreciation, but not only that tonight, but just to emphasize that we really, really feel that every single word that you're saying is making a tremendous portion of time. I want to just hear the sources from everyone, but just not to underestimate every single word we're saying tonight and with Hashem tomorrow, and I want to have for Rosh Lema.
So tonight's year is a schus for Rosh Lema for Yechiel Nassim Ben Sara, and also for Chaim Shmuel Ben Leah Yocheved. They should both have Rosh Lema.
Good evening, everyone. We thank you all for coming out tonight. We thank the Yeagers for hosting and for all of your tefillos on behalf of Yechiel Nassim Ben Sara, on behalf of Chaim Shmuel Ben Leah Yocheved. As I said, they should both have Rosh Lema and Erev Besoch Shaar Chali Yisrael. Now, the topic, tonight's topic is Hadlakas Neros and make your early Shabbos. The topic of Hadlakas Neros is an extremely appropriate topic to for a women's shiur, as I don't think I need to elaborate on the reason, but Hadlakas Neros is a mitzvah which is particularly for the women, but that needs to be elaborated upon a bit. Everyone's chayiv in Hadlakas Neros, men and women alike are chayiv in the mitzvah. It's not that women are chayiv more than men. I compare it in a sense to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. Men and women are chayiv in the mitzvah, but typically it's a man that's going to be laying the Megillah, it's going to be motzi the women, whether it's tzibor, even if it's a yachid, even if an individual woman has to hear it in her own home, typically she's not going to lay the Megillah herself. A man will come and lay it for her in most cases. Here it's the other way. The mitzvah is for men and women alike. However, the women are given the schus, they're given the privilege and the achrayis, the responsibility to be on top of this mitzvah, to be and take charge of this mitzvah, to make sure that it is done properly. And there are two reasons given. One is a very practical reason. That's the reason of the Ramban, because women are in charge of the household. And Halakas Neros for Shabbos is a function of getting the house ready for Shabbos, just as many other aspects of it. So that's the very practical, that's what the Ramban says. That's why women were given the mitzvah, were given the zchus to take charge of this mitzvah. The other reason is, al pi Kabbalah, it says that going back to Gan Eden, when the first woman, Chava, was brought about a kibui, an extinguishing of the Neiro Shel Olam, when she was involved in getting Adam Arishon to eat from Eitz Hadas, and she was with that, she extinguished the Neiro Shel Olam. So as a result, all women throughout the Doros are participate and help being restoring that. That happened, of course, on Erev Shabbos. So now every year, every week on Erev Shabbos throughout the Doros, women try to help restore that, the Or Olam, and try to, in a sense, be misakin what happened in Gan Eden. So it's the mitzvah, it's the woman's mitzvah to be in charge and to make sure the Neros are lit, and therefore she has the first shot at it, certainly. But the men aren't putter, and they're not excluded from the mitzvah. Number one, a man is supposed to have a role in the mitzvah. He's supposed to help be misake in the neiros. He's supposed to help set them up. And it's even brought in halacha for the man to prepare the wicks, which means besides setting up the neiros, but to pre-light them and extinguish them so that when his wife comes to light the neiros, they light quicker. Now, arguably, this doesn't apply to our candles. It's questionable. The Mishnah Berurah says it applies even to our candles, but the Mishnah Berurah says our candles aren't not necessarily the candles of 2021. But certainly if you're using oil or using something else where it does take a little bit a little playing with to get it to catch. Then there's a mitzvah for the husband to pre-light it and put it out so that when the wife comes to light it, she can do the mitzvah, you know, immediately without delay. If not, then he doesn't necessarily have to do that. But he, as I said, he should be the one to set up the neiros. And in addition, if a woman is, even in the situation of a married couple, if the woman, the wife is away from home, then it's the husband's responsibility to light, which means not the daughter. If the husband is home, his wife went away, she went away to a simcha, she's by her parents in a different city or wherever she may be, and she's not lighting neiros in the house, but the husband's home, and he might be home, he might have a teenage daughter, he might have a 20-year-old daughter at home, but it's his mitzvah. He is the next one online to light the neiros. Only if the husband's also not home and they left children at home, you know, adult children who are able to be home without the parents, then if there's a girl who's bas mitzvah or above, then she would light the neiros before a boy. And another aspect, though, when we say it's a woman's mitzvah, that means that once a woman is married and she begins lighting the neiros, then she does it every single week, regardless of where she is, provided she can. If she's in the hospital and she can't, that's something else. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more detail about that later. But if she is by her parents or she is by a friend or wherever she may be, even though they're lighting, she's by her friend couple, she's by her own parents' house, her sister's house, whatever it is, and they're lighting, her mother's lighting, her sister's lighting, whoever it is, but she should still light neiros. Once a woman is married, then for the rest of her life, it is her responsibility to light neiros on Erev Shabbos. And this even has the following ramification. There is a din Shulchan Aruch that if a woman neglects to light one Friday, not because of circumstances beyond her control, but something which is within her control, but she missed, either whether she forgot, whether she misjudged the time, she lost track of time. I've had the shaila a number of times lately. It's an unfortunate shaila by women who say, I looked at the calendar and either I looked at the wrong week or I looked at Shkia and I thought that was, and I got confused. I thought that was candlelight time. So I said, okay. And then I come to light and all of a sudden I realize it's Shkia, can't light. So situations like that, or for whatever reason she didn't light what she could have, then there's a knas. There's a knas, is a penalty. It's one of the rare halachas where there's an imposed knas, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that she has to light an extra candle from moving ahead every week on, one more candle than she was accustomed to light till then. And the reason for this knas is because we want to make sure, the chachamim who instituted this, want to make sure that the mitzvah gets done properly, and it's not something that you could afford to be too late in. A little late, maybe, but it's just a small window. And if you are, one's got a bar mitzvah invitation and it's set on it, you know, funny, it was one person that says humor, and the different choices on the reply card. And one of them was that I will be fashionably late. That was one of the choices you could check up. Here, you can't be too fashionably late. Theoretically, a little bit late. And again, hopefully we'll talk more detail about that as well. But if you're too late and it's Shkia or very close to Shkia, then you can't light anymore and it's finished. Maybe going to light if that's feasible, but it's not something that could be corrected for that Shabbos. And you very well may be sitting in the dark. Okay, nowadays it's different. We have electric lights. Probably won't be sitting in the dark. But when the Poskim instituted this, that was the alternative. You either light candles and get them lit before Shabbos, or it's going to be a dark, dingy Shabbos. So to make sure that didn't happen, because that would take away tremendously from Shabbos. And let's segue now into what's the reason for Halakas Neiros. The reasons for Halakas Neiros are three. They're overlapping, but there are three reasons. One is for covered Shabbos, but covered just like covered Shabbos, you sweep the floors and you put down a white tablecloth or whatever, you know, you cover the tables, whether it's white or not, and you you straighten up, even if you don't straighten up a whole week, and certainly if you do, when it comes to, or also if you do, when it comes to Shabbos, you straighten up extra, you make the house spick and span as much as it was within your Yecholis, and you make the house look as an appropriate place for the Shabbos Malka. So part of that also is that you light candles because it's dignified. When you have chashu, the guests coming, that's something a person might do, to light candles on the table. You find, you know, you can tell, you go to a chasna very often, there'll be a candle on each table, on the head table certainly, there'll be, you know, candles, not because there's any need for light, there's plenty of electricity, but it's a chashivas, so lens a chashivas, that's covered Shabbos, the lens of chashivas. Then there's onik Shabbos, in the post, which Rashi and others explain, that a suda chashuva requires light. And it's brought that a person who can't see doesn't enjoy, he's never satiated as much, he can't enjoy his food as much, because you enjoy, Kadosh Baruch Hu made a synthesis and harmony between our different senses, and your sense of taste and satiation is enhanced by your sense of vision. If you see what you're eating, then it gives you more of a geschmack for it, and you enjoy it more. But if you're sitting eating in the dark, try it out. Try it out one night. You sit in the turn of lights, and they'll sit in the middle. And after you both eat the same amount, they say, okay, who's full, who's not full? You feel better about your eating if you can see your food. So that's Onik Shabbos. Onik Shabbos, to enjoy your food, you need to, and that's why the Suda should be by the neighbors. And the third reason is Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis Pashut means that in order to make sure that there's light in the house, that people don't stumble on things, they'll walk around and bump into the furniture or trip over a pair of shoes that somebody might have left in the middle, despite all the efforts to clean up for Shabbos, doesn't mean that your six-year-old is not going to, leave the shoes in the middle, or maybe your 36-year-old husband, whatever it is, might end up leaving the shoes. And in order to make sure you don't trip over them or similar types of things, which would affect the Shalom Bayis. So you light candles, that it should be light. And for that reason, the mitzvah is not just at the table, not just in the dining room. There's a mitzvah to make sure there's light all over the house in any rooms that you're going to be accessing that somebody might be using Friday night while it's dark. Now, that doesn't mean you have to light candles, actual candles. Actual candles need to be lit at the Shabbos table, or at least near the Shabbos table. If you can light them on the table, matov. If you can't because you have young children or because the table's not big enough and simply not safe, not wise, so you light them near the table. Because the reason of Onik Shabbos, like I said, and Kavod Shabbos, require that the candles be in a place where you could benefit from them during the Suda. You can at least see them and enjoy them, and preferably even get some hanah from the light, if that's feasible. That's the Onik Shabbos and the Kavod Shabbos. So that's the main Neros, and then you light actual Neros, and we'll get back to that as well maybe just in a moment. So the rest of the house, there's a mitzvah to make sure there's light, but it's good enough if there's an electric light, and it doesn't have to be in the room itself. It might be a bedroom, where the kids aren't going to fall asleep with the light on. You don't want the light on, but there should be light for them. So whether it's a closet light and they can close the door when they need to and block the light, whether it's a hall light, or whether it's even a street light from outside, which there's a window, and they just open the window shade and they get light from the outside. That's fine. But the idea is to make sure it's part of the mitzvah. In some households, the husband takes care of this part also, give him part of his role. But whatever it is important to make sure that there is light in any areas of the house that are going to be used so that you don't, mostly because the reason of Shalom Bayis. Now, getting back to the candles in the dining room. So now, in the time of Chazal, no candles meant no light. Now it's different. We have, Baruch Hashem, electricity in most homes. Most, if not all homes, are properly illuminated without candles. So that leads the Poskim to ask a bit of a shaila. So is it still justified that we actually light candles with a bracha? And we recite it, that we're women who recite a bracha on the Lucas Neiris. If the mitzvah is, or if an integral part of the mitzvah, the reason for the mitzvah is to make sure there's light, so there is light. So who says that I should be lighting candles? Who says I have a right to light candles and make a bracha on it? So many poskim deal with this. Many of the, obviously more contemporary poskim who lived in the time when there was electricity, and everyone agrees that yes, you can light candles despite the fact there's electricity. However, many poskim recommend that when you light candles, you first turn off the electricity in that room. Make the room not dark; it's not going to be mamish dark, but make it such that at least when you're lighting, when you're going to do the mitzvah, there is no other significant light. There is no electricity shining in that room, illuminating that room, and therefore the candles play an integral role at that point. And you could turn the light, you could turn electricity back on. Now it could be done in one of two ways. It can be done either by you shut off the electricity if it's on, and then as you go to do the mitzvah, right then you turn it back on and then go light your candles. And we'll talk a minute about the bracha where that comes in. But you go and do that, and it's all part of the mitzvah, even though the electricity might be on right before you lit the candles again, but you put it on the Kavod Shabbos. You put it on as part, you made it a chelik of your hadlaka. So part of your hadlaka is the electricity. So what's making the house, beautifully lit up is you did it with Kavod Shabbos. Or you could do it the other way. You could light the candles and then turn on electricity. Now, so let's speak out the bracha, so it shouldn't be confusing. I see as I'm talking, everything overlaps. The standard minhag amongst Ashkenazic women, by Sephardim, some do it differently, but by Ashkenazim, the standard minhag on a Friday night is that unlike other mitzvahs where the bracha is recited first and then the mitzvah is performed, by Lucas Neris, it's not that way. By Lucas Neris, the candles are lit first and then the bracha is recited. Why is that? Because there is also a a widespread minhag that when women light candles, they're makabel Shabbos. With the halakha, the makabel Shabbos. So since with the halakha, the makabel Shabbos, the poskim are concerned that even if she just says the bracha lahadik nershul Shabbos, it could be that already did it. It would almost be like counterintuitive or self-destructive. But just by saying the bracha lahadik nershul Shabbos, she would be makabel Shabbos and she wouldn't be able to light. So therefore, the minhag became. In Eastern Ashkenazi communities, this is the way it's in the Shulchan Aruch, that she first lights the candles, and when she's finished, she makes the bracha. Now, but you're not supposed to make a bracha once the mitzvah is done already. So for that reason, after lighting the candles, women either cover their eyes, or they cover the candles, they cover the light, and then make the bracha, and then they expose the candles, or expose their eyes to the candles, so that in a sense, it's as if the bracha came first. Although the physical act of lighting preceded the bracha, but she didn't get hanah from the lights, the Nair said, and we know how nothing lights is an ikker. So that's the minute. Now, so going back to electricity, so you could either turn the electricity on, and like I said, if it's on already, turn it off, and turn it back on the Kavod Shabbos, then go light the candles, then make the bracha. Or you could light the candles, and then just reach over, flip the switch, and then make the bracha. And the point is that lighting the electricity is, as I said, part of your mitzvah, part of the mitzvah of the Hadlakas Neiros, and it should be done that way. Now, there are times that it can't be. If it's a Yom Tov and Shabbos at back-to-back, you can't turn on or off electricity at that point. If possible, then if you have a timer on your lights and you could set it such that the timer will turn off, let's say Friday was Yom Tov and go straight into Shabbos. So if you have the timer, turn off electricity so that when you go to light Friday night, the electricity will be off. And of course, you don't turn it back on. You just light the candles and then the timer will turn on afterwards. That's a mila. It's a mila to do that, but it's not essential. If you don't have a timer or if it's, you're afraid, you know, you don't have good experience with timers and you're afraid you're going to end up sitting in the dark the whole Shabbos without the electricity. So you don't have to do that. You can still make the bracha on the lights itself. But on the standard Friday, when there's no reason that you can't turn on the electricity, it is strongly advised to do that. And now, again, me'inyan le'inyan, let's say you are not going to be home for Shabbos. And you are, not be home, sorry, what I mean is you're not eating at home. You're in town and you're sleeping at home, but you're eating out. Whether it's a simcha, whether it's your neighbors invited you, the family's eating out for Shabbat, the entire family, husband, wife, kids, everybody's eating out. So the shaila is, what do you do about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros? So preferably, most poskim would say, light the candles in your house. This is your house. You're still home. You're coming back to sleep. Light the candles in your house. However, you cannot simply light the candles and light your regular, let's say, whatever amount of time they would normally last, then leave while it's still light outside. Go to your neighbor or go to the simcha, especially the simcha, they tend to take a little bit longer, simchas, and then you come back and the candles are out. If you did that, again, putting aside the electricity for a minute, if you did that, you lit the candles with a bracha and you got no hana from them because by the time when you left the house, you didn't need them. When you came home, they were out. You were not mekayim the mitzvah and you actually said a bracha levatala. It's a bracha levatala to make a bracha on the neiros and not get any hana from them. So what you should do is either light the candles and stay home. Don't leave right away. Your husband went out to shul, but stay home until it's a little bit dark outside, peshki, but you're not sitting down to the suda probably for a while, assuming you don't have to get there early to help set up or whatever it may be. Or so stay home and sit by the neiros and get hung out from the neiros when it's starting to get dark outside so that again, if not to electricity, you need the light now. You need some additional light, whether it's electricity, whether it's nature, you need the light. So you're getting some hana from the neiros. That's one aid. So, or make sure you're home in time that the neiros is still burning. You maybe light longer candles, or if you use oil, put in enough oil. That's very easy to do. Put enough oil that it will still be burning. And when you get home, sit by the neiros and get some hana. Don't just walk in home, walk by them and go to sleep. Sit by the neiros a little bit. Somebody, at least not be a family gathering, but somebody should sit by the neiros and get some hana from the neiros. But here also the electricity comes in as a backup plan, because you may do that and then you plan the meeting home in time and you can't believe it. I mean, I've heard of long Sheva brachas, but this one takes the cake. I mean, it must have had 15 speakers and they didn't serve the soup yet. So by the time you get home, they're out. The candles are out and unexpectedly. So at least if when you lit candles, you did put on the electricity and you made that a chelik of your mitzvah, so then that'll save you from the bracha levatal. It'll save your mitzvah. Although making a bracha on the electricity alone is questionable, but it's certainly right. It's the Gemara's expression is chazi l'starufei. It's right. It's proper. It's it's appropriate to be mitzar of that, to combine that with your physical hatlaka of the real neiros, to make that part of the mitzvah, so that even if it ends up, the neiros are out, by the time you come home, at least you still have the electricity burning. Make sure the timer doesn't shut it off before you walk back home. And you have the electricity burning, and that'll be, this way you'll have done the mitzvah, you'll have done the mitzvah properly. Okay, now, when you light the neiros, so we mentioned that the minhag is to be, the minhag is for women to be makabel Shabbos. Now let me just mention, when a man lights neiros, there is no such minhag. A man doesn't not necessarily be makabel Shabbos. A man doesn't necessarily be makabel Shabbos when he lights neiros. So if the wife is away, or a man who lives alone, say a single man, then he has his own home, his own apartment, so he has to light neiros. But he is not makabel Shabbos. It's best that he stipulate before he lights, I'm not being makabel Shabbos. But even if he doesn't, he's not. So when he makes the bracha, he can make the bracha first. He makes the bracha, then lights the neiros. He doesn't have to do it in the opposite order. And I'm not looking at my notes here at the right order, so I'm saying things as they come into my head. That I don't leave things out. Maybe I'll look at them at the end. On Yom Tov, some women will do that as well. On Yom Tov, we know you're allowed to light a candle. You can't strike a match. You can't create a new flame on Yom Tov, but you're allowed to light a candle. If you have an existing flame, you're allowed to light one flame from another. So on Yom Tov, many women have a minhag. It's the more common minhag that they make the bracha first. They make the bracha, then light. They will have, whether they lit, you know, the light, the whatever they're using to light with their lighter or the candle, the hold in the hand, make the bracha now, they'll have the gnar shel Yom Tov. And they'll light the candles. We got Shechiana from home, whatever. Light the candles. And fine. And this way, because even by saying the words, La'agnash Sheyantiv, you will makabel Yantiv, but that doesn't stop you from lighting the candles. It's not like Shabbos, where once you makabel Shabbos, you can't light the candles. So many women will do that on Yantiv, the way, which is what I said a man does, even on Erev Shabbos. Some women don't do it that way. It's not actually a machlokus between the Magen Avraham and the Eim HaDrisha. The mother of the Drisha is the one who came up with this. The schap, at least she's the one who's famous for coming up with this schap that by Yom Tov women could do it in the opposite order. The Magen Avraham didn't agree with her, but most people, the more standard minhag is like the Eim HaDrisha. Others who do it, the Magen Avraham says not to be mechalik. Don't start making distinctions Shabbos Yom Tov. Just do it one way. So, but so there are two minhagim, but the more common minhag is to make the bracha first. Now there's another possibility of being of lighting candles and not being makabel Shabbos. But before I say it, let me go back one half a step. By Yom Tov, most women do make two brachas. Most women will make a bracha lahadlik ner shel Yom Tov, and then shechiyonu kiman v'gilon zman hazeh. Now, if you could find the source of that in Shulchan Aruch, you're better than anyone I know, because there is no source of that in Shulchan Aruch. The idea, where does it come from that women make a shechiyonu by hadlakas neiros on Yom Tov? It's not on the mitzvah of hadlakas neiros. What is it? It's on the Yom Tov, the making bracha Yom Tov. So why do they wait for Kiddush when their husband makes Yom Tov, or even if it's a woman living alone, she's going to make Kiddush herself, or she's going to go to someone's house and make Kiddush. She's going to hear Shechiyanu. But this is the way the minhag has developed, and it's a very widespread minhag that women make the bracha Shechiyanu when they light neiros. They say, L'hadlik ner shel Yom Tov, followed by Shechiyanu. Okay, now, what I want to say is the following. On a regular Shabbos, when you're coming to light the candles, if normally you're makabel Shabbos, then you're supposed to do it. But let's say you have something very important which you didn't do yet, and you want to do. Or something, either you forgot to do something in the house, or you are going out to eat and it's a little bit too far to walk, or you're going to shul and it's a bit far, it's a bit difficult to walk, and you really would like to be able to ride. Now, when are you lighting candles? So typically, women light candles. The standard minhag in America is 18 minutes before shkia. So if you light the candles 18 minutes before shkia, that gives you, as long as you don't have a long ride to shul, gives you enough time to, you know, hop over to shul in the car 5 minutes away or less, or to do something else that you realize you didn't do. You could, so it is possible and is permissible on an occasional basis for a significant tzarech. Those two stipulations, on an occasional basis for a significant tzarech, you can make it tonight. You can make a stipulation, say, although I am lighting neiros now, I am not being makabel Shabbos on this particular instance. And then you can make the bracha first and light the neiros. If you think that's too confusing, just do it the other way, do it the regular way, light, then make the bracha. But stipulate, I am not being makabel Shabbos with this hadlaka, and then you are allowed to do what it is you need to do, whether it's malacha, whether it's getting in the car and driving, or even being driven. Even being driven, you shouldn't be driven in a car if you're makabel Shabbos already, even if you're not driving, even if somebody else opens the door. If you only do that if a person has to go to the hospital or whatever it is. Otherwise, you can't get in the car if you're makabel Shabbos. So make sure not you make it tonight, you're not being makabel Shabbos, and then do what you need to do. And then, so when are you Mekabel Shabbos? So here it's important to point out, you must be Mekabel Shabbos before Shkia. Shkia, when I say Shkia, Shkia means the way we call it, sunset. Look up on charts when sunset is. And you must be Mekabel Shabbos at least a couple of minutes, at least, I'd say 3 minutes before. Why 3 minutes before? Why not Shkia itself? Because there's a mitzvah of Tosefei Shabbos. The mitzvah, say, the Araisa, and both men and women are chayiv in this mitzvah called Tosefei Shabbos. And that is to take in Shabbos early, earlier than you must. When must you? At Shkia, you must. So, at least, Lefi, the minig nafetz b'chol tutzis Yisrael. You must start Shabbos at Shkia, albeit that it's not dark yet. You must start Shabbos at Shkia. So, you have to add on to that must and move it back at least 3 minutes. So, if you lit candles early, I mean, not early, if you lit candles and were masna not to be mekabel Shabbos, make sure that at least 3 minutes before you, preferably verbally, or if not verbally, at least in your mind, say, I am now being mekabel Shabbos, a mitzvah say the rice. And by the way, you should teach this to your children who aren't lighting candles. I'd say teach it to your husband, but I'm sure they know, you know, teach it to your husband. I'm getting in trouble if I say that. But a man who's not mekabel Shabbos with lighting candles, whether because he doesn't light, because his wife does, or even he does light, but he's not mekabel Shabbos, has to remember to do this, to be mekabel Shabbos before Shkia. And so do your children. After, now, you could derive from what I'm saying that your children and your husband do not have to be mekabel Shabbos when you're lighting candles. Now, your husband certainly doesn't, and it's very likely he might not have davened mincha even. So we'll get back to that. But even your children, unless you feel in your house that that's the way you want it, you know what? Things have to be standard. I tell my kids that when I light candles, it's Shabbos for all of you. That's fine. It's perfectly fine. You can do that. But the halacha doesn't require that. If it's easier for you not or whatever, if you don't mind if they spend another few minutes getting ready, then they don't have to mekabel Shabbos with your halacha as long as they remember, they're conscious and aware of the time and they remember to be mekabel Shabbos at least 3 minutes or so before Hadlaka, before Shkia, before sunset. Okay, so now getting back, so you made this tonight, and you went wherever you got in the car, this and you couple Shabbos before. On Yom Tov, you cannot do that if you said Shechiyonu. If you lit candles and you said, Shechiyonu, v'kimonu, v'kiyonu, lazman hazeh, you can't say, I'm not being a couple Yom Tov. You just spoke out of two sides of your mouth, because you said, v'kiyonu, lazman hazeh, you brought us to this time. What time? Yom Tov. Not to the time when it's almost Yom Tov. So you can't, Rove Post can say this, almost all Post can say this, you cannot stipulate on Yom Tov, and if you must, then don't say Shechiyonu at candlelighting. Leave it out and say it later at Kiddush. Or one example, a prime example is Yom Kippur. Many women want to go to Shul Yom Kippur at night, and you know, for Kol Nidre, and etc. And they may find it's a little bit too long to walk, especially if they're wearing the regular shoes, etc. So they want to light candles and make it tonight. They're not being Mekabel Shabbos once a year. Not Mekabel Yom Tov, I should say. Once a year, they'll do it for Yom Kippur. You could do that, but you can't, not if you said Shechiyonu. Once you said Shechiyonu, you Mekabel Yom Tov. So you have to remember not to say Shechiyonu. And you'll say it later in shul. If you're in shul, they say Shechiyonu. All the men say Shechiyonu together. You'll say it with the men. On the other hand, if you did say it by candlelighting and you walked over to the shul, you didn't do anything, Mekabel Yom Tov, and then you walk to shul, then don't say it again. When they say it at shul, Yom Kippur, don't say it again. Or if you're making kiddush on a regular Yom Tov, if you're making kiddush yourself, don't say Shechiyonu if you said it at candlelighting. If you said it at candlelighting, do not repeat it at kiddush. This becomes a little bit more tricky at the Seder, but that's we're not going to get into those details now. But what I'm saying is you don't repeat Shechiyonu, say it only once, but say it once. So if you leave it out at candlelighting, say it later. Okay, now, what about davening mincha? I mentioned briefly about a man davening mincha. Women who daven mincha, which is the proper thing to do for any woman that's able to, certainly a woman who's not tarred with small children, whether you know, a single girl or women who aren't at that stage of life where they have small children that are keeping them busy. So it's proper to daven shachas and mincha, at least. So I'm sure no question that you all of you are capable of it too. So mincha has to be before you mekabel Shabbos. You can't light candles and be mekabel Shabbos and then take out your siddur and daven mincha. So the best thing is daven mincha before the candlelight time and everything's great. But let's say you can't or you didn't and you come to light candles, I didn't daven mincha, or you're just running behind and now it's just about time to light candles and if I daven, I'm gonna light late. And if I light candles, light candles. So that is a situation where you could make a tanai even on a more regular basis. You could rely, if you need to, if you find the davening mincha before is, it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Friday afternoon is an extremely busy time, and it just doesn't end up happening that you're able to daven mincha before you light candles. Once you light candles, then things sort of settle down for the most part. And then you're able to daven mincha. So then you need to stipulate that you're not being mekabel Shabbos, but still don't rely on that to do malacha. See, the reason why I said you're only supposed to do it occasionally and for big reasons, because there is a shaila in halacha whether it actually works. There's a shaila whether the tzai works. So we rely on it, but we only rely on it when the need calls for it, and only, as I said, on an occasional basis. But to rely on it just to daven mincha, that's not so bad. So if you need to make the tzai, even if you find yourself doing it often, you could do that. As I said, let me just repeat, try to daven mincha before that you shouldn't have this issue. But if you can't, when you light the candles, you masna, stipulate that you're not being mekabel Shabbos yet, but don't do any malacha. Light first and then make the bracha. Don't make the bracha first. Light first and make the bracha as if you're being mekabel Shabbos, because we don't want you to do malacha, preferably. We only want you to rely on this tanai to allow you to daven mincha. If you didn't do any of that, meaning you went ahead, lit candles, and you didn't make a tanai, nothing, and now you lit candles, you didn't daven mincha, you forgot, or normally you daven early, and you didn't get a chance. So you can't daven mincha anymore that day. But what you should do, this is the Mishnah Berurah says, this is the other person, you should daven two Shemona Esrays at Mariv. So say Mariv, but I don't daven Mariv. So, tonight you do. you should, if possible, if you normally daven mincha on a regular basis, and today you forgot, and today you weren't able to, and you lit candles, and you didn't stipulate, daven Mariv, and daven a second Shemona Esrays. After your first Shemona Esrays, you take three steps back, wait a little bit, not that long, just wait a little bit, and then say a second Shemona Esrei, a Shabbos Shemona Esrei, even though you're making up a weekday, but the din is whenever you make up a tefillah, you make it up two of the current tefillahs. So you say two Friday night Shemona Esreis, basically back to back, with just a short break in between, and that's why you made it up. Now, you can only make it up at the next tefillah, though. You can't, if you didn't make it up at Maariv, you can't make it up the next morning. And even if you say, well, I never davened Maariv, so for me, Shacharis is the next tefillah. Good kasha, but it's not true. La'alacha. And you can't do it. You can only make it up in Marib. So you should try to do that. And as I said, even if you normally don't have a Marib, it's good to daven Marib that night. And even if it's just Shemona Esrei, even if you say, okay, I can daven Shemona Esrei, but I can't start with Kriya Shema and the Brachas, it's not going to work because there are people in the house that need my attention. So daven Shemona Esrei, have Marib once, short break, and then twice. Okay. Now let's talk about. I mentioned that candle lighting is typically in the American communities 18 minutes before a Shkia. If you come from Chicago or if you live in Chicago, there the minute is 20 minutes before. How that happened, I don't know exactly, but there the Kavua calendar is 20 minutes before Shkia. New York, 18. Florida, 18. Sorry. Yeah, I'm quite sure. In Florida, it's 18. Yerushalayim is 40 minutes before Shkia. Okay, now typically you're only supposed to light candles at the Zman, meaning you're not really supposed to light early. Unless you definitely make sure to be mekabel Shabbos then. Because if you want to light early, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to light early, if circumstances allow for it. But then make sure you're mekabel Shabbos. You can't light early and stipulate you're not mekabel Shabbos. So this, in fact, this might be a situation where you dafka want to, because you're going out somewhere and you want to get a head start in it. You want to get there, we want to go and help set up. So you want to light early, dafka, and leave the house. But you can't light early unless you're mekabel Shabbos, or you could be making that at least somebody from the family. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says if somebody from the family is mekabel Shabbos, that would also be okay. If somebody has to be mekabel Shabbos when you're lighting candles, if you're lighting early. So, okay, now what's the earliest you could possibly light? Well, we know during the summer, many people start early Shabbos. And here comes the other words on the title of the shiur. I'm not finished with the Lucas Nerith, but many people start Shabbos early. And they light long before 18 minutes. Their husband's home from shul. It's not even 18 minutes before Shkia. So what's the earliest you can light? So this light is called Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha is an hour and a quarter before Shkia, but not an hour and a quarter based on 60-minute hours. It's based on what we call Halachic hours, Shazmanios, which during the summer are a little bit longer than 60 minutes. So it comes out, I actually didn't check, I haven't been making Shabbos early, so I don't know the exact time, but I think Plag HaMincha now is around 6:40. In fact, I think it's around 6:40 is Plag HaMincha now. It changes every week. It's it gets a little later and a little earlier. So you have to look carefully. You cannot light candles before Plag HaMincha. That is the earliest time, according to the Mishnah Berurah. If you lit candles before that Zman, it's a bracha of Atala, and you have to put them out, and light again with another bracha. And even if you say, well, I live as Makabel Shabbos, no, it's no, I used to teach the girls, I used to say, yeah, it's a great idea. If you think, if you can Makabel Shabbos whenever you want. So if you have, you know, I just teach high school, you know, 11th graders. So yeah, you come into, you know, you have a big test on Friday. So you come to say, sorry, I can't test. I was Makabel Shabbos already. You can't be Makabel Shabbos at 11 o'clock in the morning. So when could you Makabel Shabbos? Plag HaMincha. That is the earliest time, which, like I said, now it's about 6:40 here in Florida, approximately. That's the earliest you can Makabel Shabbos. And if you Makabel Shabbos before that, it's nothing. It's like you Makabel Shabbos right now. It doesn't have any validity to it, according to the Mishnah Berurah. Not saying nobody disagrees, but this is the halacha that we're learning based on the Mishnah Berurah and others, obviously. So that's the earliest. So you have to be careful. If you're making Shabbos early, when your husband is going to shul to daven, you know, for married women whose husbands are leaving to go to shul to daven mincha, in most cases, they're davening mincha before plaga mincha, because when you start Shabbos early, the proper thing to do is to daven mincha before plaga mincha and marav after plaga mincha. So that means during the rest of the year, just hold up for 1 second, the rest of the year, during the winter, you're lighting candles 18 minutes before Shkia, and your husband might be davening mincha 10 minutes before Shkia. And the kol, actually, this man for mincha is 20 minutes, is a little bit before candle lighting. But in many shuls, it's not. Many shuls, it's 15 minutes before Shkia, or maybe even 10 minutes before Shkia. So you're lighting candles, your husband might still be home and running out the door to mincha. He might even be getting into his car if he, you know, has the guts, and he'll get there, find a parking space, and get there in time. Not such a big problem here as it is in some other cities. So, so you're lighting candles, and he is not Makabel Shabbos yet, and he's leaving, and that's perfectly fine. And you're just on time. You're not early at all. It's 18 minutes before Shkia, and he's rushing out the shul. During the summer, if you're making Shabbos early, it's quite the opposite, quite the contrary. When he's leaving for shul, it's probably too early for you to light candles. He's probably, preferably, davening at a shul with a daven mincha before they're finished by 6:40. They're finished by plaga mincha. So you should not be lighting candles. Don't take your cue from your husband's, you know, saying, you know, good Shabbos, see you later. And don't do that. Don't light candles. You can take the cue and say, okay, now I know it's my 15-minute warning or 20-minute, you know, whatever, figure it out. But you can't light before this month. This is very important to know about. And then when you do light, like I said, then you have to make sure to be Makabel Shabbos. Since you're lighting early, you're lighting, you know, long before the Zman, you have to make sure to be Makabel Shabbos, or that at least somebody, you know, minimally, that somebody in the house is Makabel Shabbos then. Okay. Now, just on this topic again, now when the men come home from shul and you sit down to the Suda, you're allowed to make Kiddush and have the Suda even before dark, even before Shkia. Other people are first leaving their houses for shul. That's very common in communities where they have multiple minyanim. You know, it's zeh yotzeh zeh nichnas. You know, what they're coming home from shul, sitting down, and the others are just leaving the doors, leaving the house, closing the door, and going to daven mincha. So you could eat the suda before Shabbos, before Shkia, that is. And technically, you yotzeh the suda, even if you finish. You know, some families, they're quick. Maybe they're running out to a simcha afterwards. So they want to finish their suda, tick-tock. They're finished. It's not even sunset. It's not even sunset. They finished the benching. So that's okay. You're yotzeh. It is brought down that it's a amidas chasidus, or it's preferable if you can to eat a kezias after dark. Meaning, so if your meal is not happening, is not ending so quickly, you're starting early, but you know, you're not ending that quickly. And before you bench or something, sometime in the meal, well, it's already dark outside. So it's kedai if you can to eat a kezias of bread. One kezias, not that much, an ounce or so of bread, so that you ate challah at night. So you ate the suda, you know, challah, when it's really Shabbos, when Shabbos holiday is. But it's only, it's a hidur, it's an extra, it's not a necessary action. Okay, now, I'm just looking for a second, I'm not sure what the time is. Oh, no, thank you very much, I just see what the time is. Okay, I'm not sure how long I'm supposed to speak here. And that's dangerous. Okay. Okay. Unless somebody stops me, I'll have to make my own decision. Okay, how many candles should you be lighting? So the minimum to be yotzei the mitzvah is one. It could be yotzei one. The minimum that you should light, if you have no other reasons to do different, is two. You should light two if you at all can. Baruch Hashem, nowadays, for most people, having two candles is not the biggest financial struggle, Baruch Hashem. So, Shlaz two candles, one connected Zachar, one connected Shamar, and there are other reasons as well for two candles. But many people have more than two candles. Now, the Gemara says, Haragil Bener, one who is Ragil, meaning Rashi says he does the mitzvah, he or she does the mitzvah behidur, and they beautify the mitzvah, and they they light a lot of candles and beautiful candles. Having like banim tamidei chachamim, they're zoche to have children, sons with tamidei chachamim. Not like everything, it doesn't mean it's that's all you got to do, and now that's it. And I'm going to be my son's going to be the next gadol hadar. Lav davka, but it's a schus. It's a schus. It's a schus to have that goal, that accomplishment. So therefore, I believe this is probably part, if not the main reason, part of the reason, if not the main reason, for the prevalent minhag that many women have, whenever they have a new child is born to their family, they light a candle. Why is that? Because it says a ragel in there. So if you had a boy, so you want him to be as tamachachem as well, so you want to increase. Until now, you only discuss for your first X number of kids. And or maybe you didn't have any children yet. This is your first, and so you need a schus for this child, an additional child. So you want to light an extra candle to help beautify the mitzvah, to increase your schus. And if you had a girl, you hope that she'll marry a talmid chacham one day. So you want to have that that schus. I suspect that is a reason for the minhag. It doesn't say exactly the reason. It's a very prevalent minhag. It's not even brought. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah and the post and the many poskim, it's not even brought this minhag. The minhagim they bring is, light 7 candles connected the 7 days of the week, 10 candles connected the Aseres HaDibros, because Shabbos and Aseres HaDibros. Now, there are other minhagim of much higher numbers. Since the Vilna Gaon used to light many, many candles until the doctors told him he has to stop. It's not healthy. I guess the fumes. So it was not healthy for me. That's what he said. I don't know how many that was. But those minhagim are brought. But whatever you do is fine. You could, anything from 2 up is fine. But whatever you do, you should always do. Meaning you shouldn't do it and say, no, I think I've been lighting whatever number. I think I'm going to cut down a little bit. And let's try this. I got a new candelabra that holds just 4. And I really want to use it by itself because it's very chashu looking. No, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't reduce the number. If you have to reduce the number, you should do a taras nadar like anything else. But you should try not to reduce the number or even the length of the candles. If you've been using candles a little bit longer than you need to, and just quickly, what does need to mean? Well, the best is that they last at least till the end of the Shabbos Sudah. But if you've been lighting candles that are longer than that and you want to cut it down, you should not do that either, unless if there's a compelling reason. Again, you should be matinet. When you're away from home, you're lighting elsewhere, as I said before, that even when you're away from home, you should light. You don't have to light the full number. It's many say like this. It's enough to light just 2 candles. If you're by someone who is willing to give you your full whatever number and you want to do it, it's okay. But it's not necessary. That's not considered that you've reduced. You're away from home. You can light just 2. Something I was about to say. Oh, okay. Now, if we mentioned before the idea of a knas. So the Mishnah Berurah says the knas only applies if you didn't light at all. If you lit, but you got to that tzomelt or whatever, you neglected 1, or usually like X, and you lighted X minus 1 or X minus 2, as long as you lit, the knas would not apply. And also it says though, I mentioned that normally the reason we make the bracha second, women make the bracha second after lighting, is so as not to be mekabel Shabbos. But once it's your standard minhag that you always light and then make the bracha, so if by mistake you once made the bracha first, then you could still light. If you made the bracha already, because obviously you didn't mean to kabbal Shabbos, every week you do it the other way, so you are allowed to light lamaisa even if you recited the bracha, you're still allowed to light. On the other hand, if you lit, let's say you normally light 6, you lit 5, and then you made the bracha, and then you say, I missed one, then no, don't light. Once you lit already mekayim the basic mitzvah, and then you made the bracha, then you didn't mean to kabbal Shabbos, say, oh, I overlooked one, you should not light that. If you could ask if your husband's home and he wasn't mekabel Shabbos, you could ask your husband to light it, but otherwise just leave it. And like I said, the Mishnah Berurah says you would not have to add a candle to that. I want to mention also many poskim say if you neglected to light on a Yom Tov night, there's no knas. You don't have to add a candle, not for Shabbos, not for Yom Tov. The reason basically being because on Yom Tov, we're not so concerned because it's hard to forget, because even if you forgot to light on time, you could light all night as long as you have a burning flame. You can light. It's not Shabbos. You can't light. If you didn't light on time, you're finished. A bunch of shkia, it's over. But on Yom Tov, so it's not so likely you're going to forget in Yom Tov, and we're not so concerned. So the knas doesn't apply on Yom Tov, only on Shabbos. Okay, let me just look over here to see what other things I wanted to mention. Bear with me for a moment, please. Okay, well, let me just see for this other stuff. Okay, yeah, so maybe two more main areas then. If there are questions, I would be willing to entertain them. One thing is if a woman, Chalila, is ill, and it's hard for her to get out of bed and get over to the table to light, but she's awake, and so you could, or someone could bring her the Neiris and bring some sort of table, bring a little table or something like this, and light on the table, and let them sit there for a couple of minutes, and then the person should move. Someone obviously wasn't the Kabbal Shabbos, someone else in the household wasn't the Kabbal Shabbos. Normally we don't move the candles. Once they're lit, they should stay in place. Even somebody who wasn't the Kabbal Shabbos shouldn't light them. Excuse me, shouldn't move them. They should be lit where they're going to stay and stay. But if a woman is ill and she can't get out of bed, so then her husband or whoever is available to help her can bring her the candles, bring her a case. She shouldn't light them you shouldn't hold them in your hands and light them, or hold, the other person holding them. They should be put down on a table if at all possible, and then they could be moved somewhere else. That's number one. Now, there is a minog, an old minog, that the first Shabbos after a childbirth, that the woman, the wife does not light, the husband lights. Old minig. The husband lights the Neiros the first Shabbos after. Various reasons given. The bottom line is some say yes, some say no. So either way you do is okay. If you have such a minig or whatever it is, that's fine. If not, not. But you just be aware that is a minig kodem. The husband lights the first week after. Okay. Now what I wanted, the other main discussion I want to have, unless I find some more here, is lighting when you're away from home. We discussed the case where you're sleeping at home and eating away from home. But I want to discuss now, let's say you're away from home for Shabbos. You went to you and your husband are away from home. And either you're staying in someone else's house, you're visiting your parents for Shabbos or your sister or whatever, and you're eating and sleeping there and everything. So then that's simple. You light there. And I said, you should light there. And what I forgot to say an hour ago was that if you forgot to light, even in somebody else's house, where there's plenty of Neiros, your mother light and your sister light and your niece light, lit, your married niece, and you forgot to light, Set Rosh Vice says, Knas. The Knas still applies. Next week, you gotta start eating a candle. Meaning, Ad Kedei Kach, the mitzvah for you to light once you're married is every week, even if you're away from home. If you're in the hospital and you can't light, obviously in the hospital you can't light regular Neiros, don't try it. I was once in the hospital over Shabbos, and my wife, she spent Shabbos with me, wanted the proper Shabbos. So she brought a crock pot. We're going to put up a chonk. We're going to make this. We're not going to eat these little TV dinners for Shabbos. And she even checked it out with somebody there, but a little concerned. So we asked someone else over there, and they asked security, and they said, absolutely not. They say, if there's any smoke, if the smoke alarm goes off, we have to evacuate the entire hospital, entire week. Don't try. So we didn't plug it in. So that was a crock pot. It doesn't usually smoke, especially if you know how to make chocolate. It's not going to smoke. But if you light candles, it very well may smoke. So don't try. But so you may have the option of lighting the electric candles. There are lots of opinions if you should be making a bracha on the electric candles. Personally, I would say not to make a bracha on electric candles, certainly if they're plug-in candles. When you don't even have like a source that the electricity is coming from the outside and generating it, that's according to many chashuva poskim say like that. The other possibility is if you have these sticks with batteries in them, which look like candles, then I would still advise most people not to do it because it doesn't give any light. And there's no, I don't think it adds much to the Kavod Shabbos or the Onik Shabbos or the Shalom Bayit. What is it? If a woman absolutely wants to, especially maybe an older woman, and if you tell them not to light candles, what it's not Shabbos. Okay, so it's what there is what to rely on to make a bracha, even on the real electricity and certainly on the battery ones. But when asked me, I advise them not to make a bracha, certainly not on the electric and even not on the battery unless, under the most circumstances. What you should do though is make sure if you're in a room already, make sure that the bathroom light is on, or whatever light you need is on, so that if you can, maybe sometimes it's not in your control. But if whatever you control, turn on the lights that you need so that you'll have light for Shabbos. Don't make a bracha, but have in mind that you're doing that for Kavod Shabbos. Do it after Plaga Mincha, which means even if, let's say, the bathroom light is on already, turn it off if you get out of bed, or if not, ask somebody else to turn it off and turn it back on for Kavod Shabbos. It's the bathroom, but that's a light that you need for Kavod Shabbos, as I said, without a bracha. Okay, but if you're staying in one place and you're sleeping there and you're in somebody's house, no problem. Let's say you're sleeping in one place and you're eating elsewhere. You went away for a Shabbos, so Yom Tov, and they don't have room for everybody in one house. You're sleeping elsewhere, but you're eating Friday night over there, or you're eating at the shul because you went for a bar mitzvah or Shabbat brachas, and you're eating in the shul and sleeping in someone's house. So where should you light? So the best thing, if possible, would be to light where you're eating. Here you have a choice, either where I'm sleeping or I'm eating. The best thing to be with, best thing would be to light where you're sleeping, where you're eating, if you have a choice, especially if there are people at home where you're staying, the family is home, so they're lighting anyway, so then it's best to light where you're eating. But if you can't, check it out, because unfortunately, in some places, they don't set up the candles in a way that you can get any hanoah. They may maybe give these little tea lights, and they're in a corner somewhere, or they're in the hall, you know, the hallway. That's not proper, and that's probably not the mitzvah. If they could be on your table, which is unlikely, because at a simcha, they're gonna clear off the tables afterwards and throwing everything, they can't have burning candles. But if they could be near your table, but it's probably not practical. So if it's not gonna happen, I mean, if the light's in the shul, this is if you're in a shul or an hotel, or, you know, ballroom, then you probably won't be able to light properly. So then light where you're sleeping, but make sure you get hanoah, either before you go to sleep or before you leave, or at least make sure the other people in the house get hanoah from it if you're not gonna be able to. And if you can turn on electricity, you probably can, because if you're lying in someone else's house, you know, you might not be in control. But if you can, do those aces we mentioned before. But if you're eating in one house and sleeping in another house, so the house you're eating in, you could light by the table, just like the Balabas is lighting, so then it'd be better. If you can get there before Shabbos, if you can't get there, then light where you're sleeping. But if you can get there before Shabbos, go over there before, light where you're eating. That would be the preferred method. And as I said before, if you're away from Shabbos in your husband's home, you light where you are, he lights at home. If you're home and he's away, then you for sure light at home. That's a no-brainer. But your husband probably, in most cases, will not have the light. As long as you're lighting at home and he's somewhere with his light, as long as there's light where he is, then he would not have to light nearest under those circumstances. Okay, I think I've pretty much covered the material I wanted to. Is there anything else in here? So I'm not finding it right now. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to take this.
Yes, actually, I think I have two questions. One question is, I understand it's best to daven it before the Brachas Neiros. When it comes to, you didn't do that, and now it's like 20 minutes before Shabbos. So is it better to daven Mincha and then light into your 18 minutes, or light and not being kavosh and say you can daven Mincha?
Very good question. There are different opinions on that. I personally think it's better, at least for most women, it's better to light. If you typically light on time, then light on time this week as well. Light on time and stipulate, make a sign that I'm not being called Shabbos. As I said, don't rely on the tonight to do malacha, but rely on the tonight to daven mincha. That would be better. A person who anyway is very often late and this and that, and they have enough time that they'll be able to daven mincha and light and be finished at least a few minutes before Shkia, then they could do that. But all things equal, I would think the better thing to do is light on time, so as not to break that custom, and daven afterwards with the tzniut.
Thank you. Another question? Can I have a second one? Today, Intern Rabbi Friedman said that you, if you're going to make light and you need to drive and you're not being Kabbal Shabbos, that occasional time, that you're not allowed to do that earlier than this month.
Unless at least someone else is Kabbal Shabbos at the time.
So would that include, I'm just thinking myself, a Yom Kippur, where we're going to drive to Kol Nidre, and it's early. Are we allowed to drive?
If you're lighting before 18 minutes?
Because isn't this man is much earlier than Kol Nidre, no?
You're right. It's usually about 10 minutes earlier. That's true. It still applies that you can't light earlier without being Mekabel Yom Tov, and or at least, like I said, someone, either, you know, if you can't walk, maybe someone else in the house could walk to shul, and but yes, it does, the answer is yes, it does apply. You have to work.
Cool question. Is there an order in which you should light the candles? And I don't know if that's halacha or just a minhag.
You mean the way you have them set up? Like,
yeah, the closer ones, the further ones.
Oh, interesting. I don't recall seeing anything. I mean, normally there is a din of Eimad Rina Levitzis, like by Hanukkah, where you're supposed to light from the left to the right. It does say you're supposed to try to approach the menorah from this side, because if you approach from this side, you're not supposed to light that way. So maybe that applies here if you can do it safely. I mean, if you light the ones in front, right, you know, it might be a little bit hard to light the ones in back. Or if you light the shorter ones, you know, it might be better. I know when I prepare the nears at home, I usually do pre-light them. I learned a lesson to light the taller ones first, and then the shorter ones. because like the shorter one, then you might end up some unwanted presence on your arm. So, but if you could work it out to light in the order that becomes the chore, that would be preference. Okay. I don't know if you're a referee here, but it's probably one of the women would call on people. Okay.
And it's about laying, so you can't, when the person makes early Shabbos, and that's supposed to light before Chag HaMincha. So they have to light, like could be, but their husband may be home before Shkia. Like, is there a time that they should be lighting when their husband's davening?
Okay.
That was my question.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, forgot to mention that. In other words, let me rephrase your question and tell me if this is what you're asking. You're asking is it necessary that you light before your husband's Mekabel Shabbos? We said before, when you're Mekabel Shabbos, it doesn't affect your husband. But what happens when your husband's Mekabel Shabbos in shul? Does that affect you?
Can't light before
flag. Right, really that would make it harder. But the halacha question you're asking is when your husband says boi chala, boi chala, he's now makabel Shabbos, is it too late? No, that's it. You have to drop everything, or not?
And we don't know exactly.
Okay. But the answer is no. The answer is I'm not going to say it's not a machlokas, but Rav Moshe, for instance, says this is a pashtus. He sees no reason why the wife has to be makabel Shabbos when her husband does. She's not totally on him. The only thing he says is that once he is Mekabel Shabbos, then the wife should not do malachas which are specifically for him. For example, she's supposed to be sewing up the hem on his trousers or polishing his shoes. That she shouldn't do. And if you'll pardon me, it's not, I mean, don't take this wrong, but Moshe says because it's because of the din of the pasuk says, L'man yanuach sharcha v'chamorecha v'yinofesh ben amascha, not the sharcha v'chamorecha part, v'yinofesh ben amascha v'hager. There's a mitzvah that people that are on like sort of your staff, your work staff. Now, okay. So, I don't want to get into any more trouble. But so you shouldn't do things that are specifically for your husband, but stam things for the whole household, and you know, including lighting the candles, which is for your husband as well, but it's everyone that you're still allowed to do. That's what Moshe says. There are chalkim, and there are those that say, so there are some shuls where there'll be mefarsim. Okay, early Shabbos, you have a 10-minute window. After plag, but before they say boi chala. So make sure it's light davka within this 10 minutes. Some shuls will do that. The kol here doesn't do that, and I assume it's based on Rav Moshe's plaque and others, which we rely on, that no, you're not bound by that. If you can light before your husband Kabbalah Shabbos, after plag, matov. But if you can't, you don't have to worry.
Oh.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
If we said Shachrina during candle lighting, we answer Amen to our husband Shachrina during Kiddush?
Okay, it's a very good question. So Rav Moshe Feinstein again says, yes, you still answer Amen. And many, some say it depends on which Kiddush, on Pesach, yes, and on the other, but the Maisa, we follow the Moshe. The answer is yes, you can answer Shachrina. You can answer Amen to Shachrina. Yes. Yes. I would imagine she means 10 minutes before the norm in your community, which means 10 minutes before the 18. The Tosefes Shabbos is before Shkia. That's for the woman or the man who didn't start Shabbos at candle lighting, and they're getting close to Shkia, to sunset. They have to add 3 minutes before sunset. You don't have to add 3 minutes before candle. No, I'm sorry. No, that wasn't misunderstood. You don't have to add 3 minutes on the candle lighting time. 18 minutes, whatever the time is. But you only have to, if you're not starting Shabbos then, if you're getting down to the wire, with the wire being sunset, then you have to make sure to stop 3 minutes before the sunset. But so what she would mean is 10 minutes before whatever your community minig is, which over here, that would be 28 minutes before Shkia. Okay, oh, yes.
The only, thank you very much for giving this share. My pleasure. I'll very much appreciate it. I wanted to know if the only proper way to hold off accepting Shabbos is to have the thought or say, I'm going to accept Shabbos a little bit later on until I finish my halacha. Or can you light and then do the malacha and then say the bracha?
No, choice A.
Okay, and also when you are lighting each candle, do you have to have in mind, this one's for my husband, this one's for my son, this one's for my daughter?
No, you don't have to do that. I just one thing women asked me, and I can't say I was challenged explicitly, but they asked me, you know, I forgot 1 week and I've been lighting the extra candle. Baruch Hashem, I just had a baby. I usually add one. Could I not add this time so that I can even say that? I said, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be that kid who did it. Could you not add? I said, look, you don't have to add for every child. So if you don't want to add so that evens out, fine. But if you're asking me, I'd be like, you're in a candle and keep lighting one more. So, but no, but you don't have to have in mind which one is which.
Is it okay to say that? Like,
it is okay as long as if, you know, one of the candles go out, which something's happened, you shouldn't say, oh, my boy, what happened to Bonnie? You know? Okay, then it's okay. Yes, why not?
During those 18 minutes, do you have to be like careful how to phrase something like the family sees you in a college house and you have to give an instruction? Should you say that right or say it like in a head?
No, you don't have to. And if you, when you, even if you were in a college house and there's somebody else who wasn't, you're allowed to ask them, even if you're allowed to ask them to do malacha for you. You're allowed to. Everyone agrees if it's for the bar mitzvah, that everyone agrees. There is a sheet that perhaps if it's not a Dvar Mitzvah, then you're not, but I mean, most likely it is. What you're asking, you're probably asking something for Shabbos. Anything for Shabbos, you wouldn't have to be around the bushy.
How are kids in the Kabbalah Shabbos? Like, you're going to ask a young child to turn your oven off and you forgot after you mentioned it. Like, you said if you're not in the Kabbalah Shabbos, it's in 18 minutes, it's fine. Like, how do I know if they don't, like, what? How does a child in Kabbalah Shabbos normal?
They should just state it. I hear about Kabbalah Shabbos.
Every child should say that before
Shabbos. Once they're old enough to, yes. Once it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's Shabbos. It's something. It's chinuch. Something to be. Certainly, if they're over by mitzvah, that's mitzvah. That they should be taught to do. You know, it's. I once heard a shiur from a rabbi who said, you know, when it comes to an esrog, people go crazy out of the way, spend money and get it. And that's a mitzvah to say, which is great. Min HaTorah, it's only one day a year. The rest of Sukkot is the Rabbanan, six more days. Tosh Shah is missed every single week. Misses to say the rice. So, like, what happened? Why? Where are we all? So, hopefully, we have some more people know who are sensitive to it. Yes.
It's also like when you start lighting, let's say you're not finished lighting your candle, then the child asks you something. Like, once you start lighting the first candle, that you're allowed to be interrupted in the middle of that?
Yes, you are. You didn't say the bracha yet. Yes, you could. Not to be confused with when you're washing, just, I have nothing to do with this. When you're washing the bread, you wash, and then once you wash, you should not talk. Certainly not, you know, people are very, very careful not to talk after they say the bracha before a motzi. It's much more important not to talk between washing and saying the bracha on the other side, much more important. But once you start washing, you shouldn't, but the candle lighting, if you had to, you know, if you had to. Normally, when you're doing a mitzvah, you're supposed to be involved in, and not supposed to be doing other things. But, you know, go tell that to your four-year-old. So if you have to, you can.
Let's say your candle burns out after you've Do you relight it after Shabbos?
I've heard of such a thing. I don't think I've seen it in Sfarim, certainly not in the day, certainly not in the Shabbos or anything, but I've heard of such a thing. Yes, I'm trying to see the time. So
my question is, is it less than preferable to go into the 18 minutes? Being like, I know is it like against halacha for women to rely and they have an extra few minutes
to push off the candle?
Meaning like if it's not the 18 minutes yet, like a lot of the time is officially today 9:36, but you know you really have 18 minutes after that there are men do. Like,
and to end up lighting 10 minutes later or something?
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's not against halacha, it's not recommended. Like I said, it's recommended. It's a very hush of a thing to light on. To light on time, and it's very important. It's definitely something you should try to, make your practice, make your custom. But it's not against halacha if you didn't, because as long as you're very careful not to go, you know, too late. And certainly, if you didn't light on time, you certainly should still light as long as you'll be finished, you know, at least a couple of minutes before.
That's a deliberate thing.
No, I understand. Okay, so I'm saying you should try. It's not against halacha. Now, if you end up, you have to push off, and it's not against halacha, but it's like I said, you should try to minimize it. Okay, I do want to go to Maris, so I will thank you again all for coming, to the host for hosting, and so
thank you.